Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This year's Lenten season was an unusually full one. Two of our dear lambs from our flock departed this mortal life, Juanita Wessel and Carolyn Shoemaker. While having two funerals during Lent is hard on a congregation and on a pastor, it does give us an excellent opportunity to remember exactly what it is that we are doing here. St. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." When St. Paul says that this is of first importance, he means that there is nothing more important than this thing, nothing in heaven above or in earth below. Again, the most important article of the Christian faith is that Jesus died for our sins and was raised again for our justification. Everything the church does and says flows from this one point. This is truly a life or death matter. Christ's death and resurrection provide for the solid foundation from which Christians live their lives in this world. Because Christ is raised from the dead, both Carolyn and Juanita closed their eyes in the sure and certain hope that they would be joining the unending praise of the risen Christ and all those who have gone before them in this life. Because Christ is raised from the dead, we buried them in that same sure and certain hope that Jesus would raise them from the dead on the last day when he returns. Because Christ is raised from the dead, we buried them facing the east as a confession of Christ's promise that he would return from the east. Because Christ is raised from the dead, in fact, you are also this morning facing towards the east, because we are looking forward to the east where Jesus will come from. Because Christ is raised from the dead, we receive the body and blood of Jesus as living bread from heaven to sustain us in both body and soul to life everlasting. Now this brings up a rather interesting point. Everything that we eat is dead or dying. Hopefully the ham you're planning to eat this afternoon is dead anyway, at least by this point. But think about that for a moment. Why do we put food in the refrigerator or in the freezer? Even things that don't require refrigeration aren't generally left exposed to open air. I presume, anyway, that you keep your bread in the bag that it came in, and you fold over your chip bag and maybe clip it like we do at our house. Why? Well, because all of it is in a state of decay. That is the curse of sin at work in our world. Everything is decaying, including our own bodies. We feed decaying bodies with decaying fuel. We too are heading toward the same end, so long as Christ holds off on his return. Consider, if you would, the major fire at the Cathedral of Notre Dame in Paris just a few days ago. This church building, whose cornerstone was laid in the year 1163, more than 800 years ago, was laid waste by a fire that seems to have been started by an accident. Even that is evidence of the fall and the curse. Everything, no matter how sturdy and strongly built it is subject to decay and death. Death comes for us all. It is a summons that we cannot ignore. It is the sad fact of this mortal life. We die because we inherited a sinful condition, and we ourselves have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin, says St. Paul, is death, and death does not discriminate. It comes for the rich or poor, for young or old, man or woman, black or white, Christian or unbeliever. It is our enemy, says St. Paul. But in the death of Jesus, death is undone. Christ is the life of all the living, and he is the death of death, our foe. This, dear friends in Christ, is why the death and resurrection of Jesus is the single most important article of the Christian faith. This is the mystery of which St. Paul speaks of in our epistle reading for today. Because Christ is raised from the dead, when he returns, our mortal bodies will put on immortality. The dead will be raised imperishable. Death is swallowed up in Christ's victory over the grave. Even though death appeared victorious when Christ was laid in the tomb on Good Friday, death was defeated and destroyed when Christ rose from the dead. As St. Paul sings, "Where, O death, is your victory?" Even when we commit the bodies of loved ones to the ground after they have fallen asleep in this life, we have that beautiful promise from Jesus as a balm for our sorrow. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." This is not some kind of religious doublespeak. This is what must happen as a result of Christ's resurrection from the dead. Death's power was broken when Jesus was raised. It tried to swallow him up, but Christ blew a hole in death, and death itself has now died. This means that when our loved ones die, or when we ourselves must die, death won't be able to hold us either. We belong to Christ. In the waters of holy baptism, he claims us as his own. And in a moment, when we come to this altar to eat Christ's body and drink his blood, we will be eating and drinking the very body and blood of him who died, who is the resurrection and the life. Death's reign is now over. Christ's victory over death is your victory over death. Where, O death, is your sting? With this promise ringing loud and clear, I want to close by sharing a poem written by the famed John Donne, who was a clergyman in the Church of England, and he wrote some of the most beautiful verse in the English language. His poem, "Death, Be Not Proud," is a meditation on the death and resurrection of Jesus, and it is a meditation then on our death and resurrection as well. Donne writes, "Death, be not proud, though some have called thee mighty and dreadful, for thou art not so. For those whom thou think'st thou dost overthrow, die not, poor death, nor yet canst thou kill me. From rest and sleep, which but thy pictures be, much pleasure, then from thee much more must flow, and soonest our best men with thee do go, rest of their bodies and souls' delivery. Thou art slave to fate, chance, kings, and desperate men, and dost with poison, war, and sickness dwell, and poppy or charms can make us sleep as well. And better than thy stroke, why swell'st thou then? One short sleep past, we wake eternally, and death shall be no more. Death, thou shalt die." Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord.